Talk, recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios, Meanjin, Brisbane.
On 102.1 FM.
And broadcast across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
You're listening to Zed Games.
Zed Games brings you the best in gaming news, reviews, community and culture.
Want to reach out?
Share your hot take?
Or do you just want to share your favourite game?
Find us on socials at ZEDGamesAU.
Hello, you're listening to Zed Games. My name's Hazel, I'm here in the studio with...
Zara!
And
Paul.
Paul, have you ever played the game Roll Cage?
I certainly have.
Oh.
You have?
No, I was going to say it's called the Poor Man's Power Slide, but that's not true. But they both have amazing soundtracks.
It's Wipeout with Wheels.
Yeah.
Wipeout with Wheels.
Wipeout the racing game, not the show.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Plus, Roll Cage, that was where you can go on the top side of a tunnel, go around.
The wheels on the car are bigger than the car, so it can drive upside down.
On the car go round and round is what Hazel's saying.
Uh-huh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
On the bus?
On the bus too, yeah.
On the bus, okay, yeah. Cool. All right, okay.
How are you both?
I'm good.
I'm wonderful.
Yeah.
Have you been playing any games lately?
I've been playing a game here and there. I joined a little beta testing thingo for a walking game to gamify getting steps. I've also been reading.
The original game?
Yes.
Well, After Stick.
After Stick. But before
and the success
Wheel.
Of Stick and Herb.
But before Wheel.
Oh, yeah, well, Wheel took a while.
Honestly. Yeah.
Wheel took a while.
A lot of R&D in that one.
But... Yeah, the book's kind of gaming related, so it counts.
It's definitely gaming related. It's definitely gaming inspired. Paul, how are you?
I'm good. I, as always, even though I have zero time, somehow manage to play endless games.
I don't understand it.
I
assume you're just doing, like you're playing on the Steam Deck and doing your job with your feet.
Yeah, that's kind of how it works, except the job at the moment has been like painting at 2 a.m. but still like, oh, I need to get in a few minutes of Thermitage. It's gonna be good. I don't know if I'll ever finish Thermitage to actually review it, but it's interesting. You have like a demon friend, but
I do?
Yeah. But you're Polish, and it starts in Russia and it moves to Poland.
I am Polish.
It's pre-World War I and you're rolling around with Rasputin. It's not bad. Not a bad pitch.
You got one part of that correct.
I mean, the Rasputin part?
I've predictably been playing Trackmania.
You have been playing Trackmania.
Sorry?
You have been playing Trackmania.
Yeah, sometimes until too late at night.
Isn't there some more Trackmania either coming or just released? I saw a trailer the other day.
Oh, so just like a month ago, they released... it was probably more than a month ago. They released a new car. The current game, Trackmania 2020... up until now has only been the stadium car, but the Trackmania series has like 10 plus different cars. The stadium car looks like an F1 car, and it's generally considered the most accessible and easy to play. The other ones come from older games. These ones are specifically coming from the original game because they're doing it for the 20th anniversary. So they're putting in the snow car and the rally car. They are weird when you're used to stadium. It's a learning curve.
The snow car like the stadium car. And that brings Paul to an end.
You're listening to Zed Games at 4ZZZ.
You're listening to Zed Games on 4ZZZ.
Oi mate, you're listening to Zed Games at 4ZZZ.
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 Got a bit carried away.
You're listening to Zed Games with Hazel, Zara, and Paul. And coming up now is the Week in Gaming News from our friend Maylee.
Australian studio Taurus Games ceases production. On the 2nd of March, journalist Jack Ryan reported that Taurus Games would be ceasing production and had laid off 8 staff members. Taurus Games is a Melbourne studio founded in 1994. Their website boasts of producing or contributing to 146 games over its 28 years of operation. This includes franchises like Duke Nukem, Doom, Barbie, and Sonic. Studios closing their doors has become awfully common in the past year, but it's particularly sad to see another Australian studio fall victim, especially one with such a long history. Thankfully, founder Bill McIntosh says it isn't for good. In a statement to Game Developer, he said, "Taurus isn't being wound up. We're basically hibernating until we work out what our next opportunity will be. It's a good chance for us to rethink what we should focus on." Switch emulator creator settles Nintendo lawsuit for $2.4 million. At the end of February, Nintendo sued the developer of Switch emulator Yuzu for facilitating piracy. Yuzu doesn't actually provide pirated games, but it is the most common way people will access them. For example, Nintendo claims that more than 1 million people used Yuzu to access Tears of the Kingdom illegally before its release date. On March 4th, we found out that Tropic Haze, the company behind Yuzu, reached a settlement with Nintendo and now owes them $2.4 million. Additionally, Yuzu is being discontinued and they must surrender information about its development to Nintendo. This was announced on their Discord server, where they also said, "Yuzu and its team have always been against piracy. We started the projects in good faith, out of passion for Nintendo and its consoles and games, and were not intending to cause harm. But we see now that because our projects can circumvent Nintendo's technological protection measures and allow users to play games outside of authorized hardware, they have led to extensive piracy." This post also said that they would be shutting down their related Patreon, Discord server, and websites. On the 2nd of March, a warning was sent out on Discord from the Helldivers 2 team. Several Steam games have been imitating Helldivers 2 to trick unlucky shoppers. This included changing their name, game art, and even developer and publisher tags so that they could become near indistinguishable from the real thing. Similar fakes have popped up for Palworld and Last Epoch, so it seems popular multiplayer games are the best target for this scam. Buyer beware. All of the games involved in this have been removed, but the developers behind them are still operating on Steam, which is questionable. Balatro removed from sale over ratings mistake. Popular poker-inspired game Balatro was temporarily removed from the Switch store in several countries, including Australia and New Zealand. A statement from Playstack Games attributed this to an overnight change in the ratings from 3 years to 18 years due to a mistaken belief that the game promotes and provides instruction about gambling. The company stated emphatically that Balatro does not allow or encourage gambling. Balatro was developed by someone who is staunchly anti-gambling, and painstaking care has been taken to ensure the game does not feature gambling mechanics of any kind. They have been working hard to resolve this issue and expect the game will return to all stores by the 9th of March. And for some upcoming game releases. On March 8th, we have WWE 2K24 coming to PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox XS, and PC. Also on March 8th, Unicorn Overlord is coming to PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox XS, and the Nintendo Switch. On March 12th, Contra Operation Galaga is releasing to PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox XS, PC, and Nintendo Switch. And on March 13th, LlamaSoft The Jeff Minter Story is coming to PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox XS, PC, and the Nintendo Switch. And that's all this week in gaming news.
Thank you, Maylee.
Thanks, Maylee. See you later. Oh. Close the door on your way out.
Bye, Maylee.
She's gone. Good. Let's talk about her.
Oh, she's so lovely and good at news. The Yuzu drama. Okay, so the official Yuzu repository has been taken down. Everything is gone, except that it's open source software, so a million copycats sprung up immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them has already been deleted. I found out not from copyright whack-a-mole from Nintendo, but because the person who created it was apparently 14 years old and got very scared from all of the like criticism coming at them very fast.
Oh no!
That was Nuzu, wasn't it?
That was Nuzu.
Because I'm a millennial, you know, basically a young boomer, I of course had to instantly respond with a Simpsons gif, which was of course the "Hello, my name is Mr. Yuzu now," because that's the only way I can communicate to the fellow kids out there.
There's also one up on GitLab at the moment, which is still very much live. I'm looking at it right now, called Suyu.
Oh, nice. That's a good one. There's going to be so many puns over the next year. It is...
And then I personally expect all of these to be gone very quickly. At least all the ones that are on GitHub.
Yes.
Because GitHub is owned by Microsoft and they don't play.
Yeah. The game of Whack-A-Mole is going to be... It's going to be a little frantic for a little while, I think.
I mean, it's certainly going to be available still, but any further development is probably not going to be organized in such a way.
Yeah.
And their apology is hilarious because... like the little bit of like material that came out, they were just very openly like, hey, here's ROMs for unreleased games, we'll host them and give them to you, everyone on the team.
Did they host them?
Yeah.
I didn't know that
on the Discord.
Oh no.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Oh, guys. Yeah, there's no,
come on.
Look, I'm pro emulation for everything. Yeah, this was like, already a so little separate. Bit being a current machine that was being emulated, but by God, you could not have been more transparently recording your crimes.
Yeah.
Oh man.
It's just a little reminder to people, do be careful about things that you download off the internet. I'm just remembering also that story with the Helldivers 2 players.
The
fake apps are being a...
When something is in high demand and very popular, there's going to be some nefarious little copycats out there.
And poor Balatro being removed, it'll be back. It's an amazing game. I bought it on my Switch before it got removed. So.
I'm sure it's just some moderator on... the stores was just like, oh, that doesn't look right.
Yeah, it looks like it looks like poker.
Yeah, it looks like you're playing online poker.
It uses poker mechanics, but it's a roguelike. It's you like the most you win from a hand is like $15, and those dollars are to buy other packs of your roguelike run. It's like there's no betting in the game.
In the grand scheme of things, of like what people can gamble away, it's kind of small potatoes.
But before we move on from the news. There was a Microsoft event today, a partner showcase, basically. They call it something else, but partner showcase. We're all Nintendo.
Yeah.
And the one thing that stepped out to me, halfway through, this really jank game started having a trailer. And it looked like they hadn't even rendered it out at the correct resolution of everything else in the showcase. And it was, and this is just like showing where the industry is and where the big players are. It was a DLC announcement that Chucky from Child's Play was joining Griefville, which is a game inside Roblox.
Huh?
What?
Yeah.
Why did you tell me this?
Because it's very interesting.
I'm so confused.
Enjoy that. Enjoy that and let it process in your mind for the rest of the night.
Paul, have you got a review for us?
I do. I have a short little review today because it's for a game of history.
A game of history? What history?
This game is originally released in 2019, so it's actually quite old. See, the problem is there's this thing called Apple Arcade, and games are released on it. And nobody pays attention until years later when they're released on other platforms. So now!
I don't own an iPhone.
The phenomenon. Like,
Apple Arcade's got some great stuff on it. So now, 4 to 5 years later, Cricket Through the Ages has made its way to PC and Switch.
Oh, how exciting.
And I played it on Switch. I actually also played it when it originally released on Apple Arcade. But I kind of forgot about it because I did with most games on the service. Sorry, Apple Arcade people. But Cricket Through the Ages is a joke game. And funny games are hard to do because you can't do the timing as such. So this game pulls it off quite well. It kind of plays like a bunch of like Adult Swim shorts that might play between shows.
Oh.
So it starts with like, in the beginning, cricket was invented. And it's just on either side of the screen, there's a caveman and they're throwing rocks at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then... go, and then it became more common, and then like a T-Rex, you control a T-Rex and he eats the caveman and stuff like that. The entire game is controlled with one button. But also it's two player, so especially on the Switch, pull off the controllers, off you go. Tell you what, you can pull off the controllers and chuck them away and just both of you play on the screen, because that's how it originally played on the iPad version as well. You just tap on either side of it, so it'll go through history, at least at first, as cricket evolved and cricket led us to Mars and all this sort of stuff, all different iterations when they worked out how to use bats and then they had swords and all this sort of stuff. But it's very fun as two player because when you do it as one player, it sort of just takes you through the little skits. Mm-hmm. It's just like, okay, I've chopped off someone's head, moving on, next bit. When it's two player, they tend to do it in rounds and it's a bit quop-like. So it's sort of like a tapping will sort of move you quickly, while holding will make you swing your arm around. So you just get a bunch of rounds of trying to beat each other, best each other.
Yeah.
So it's only like 1 to 5 or something like that. So you get through and you finish the campaign, and then it opens up a next campaign. Eventually, at one point, going to World War One. Which, of course, was about cricket. But they played it with bayonets and grenades. Somehow, they avoid the horror of war.
They managed to just sort of sidestep that whole situation, just like cricket.
Yeah, it's all cricket. And the weird thing is all these different campaigns actually have different gameplay mechanics, despite the fact you just have tapping and long hold. That's all it is. Weirdly, there's a campaign about badminton, which I think is actually a really good game. And I can lay a lot of points down there with someone else. So as a single player game, you know, it's fun, joke. You'll be through it quite quickly. As just something to randomly pull out and have a laugh at with a friend. And I played this with my 1-year-old. And she still sort of had fun with it because it's just a janky, quappy, like funny thing. And look, hey, there's a dinosaur on screen. And as I say, that game that's actually more gamey, you can get competitive with it. It's not just all silly, but it is always funny. So Cricket Through the Ages, as I said, it's on PC and Switch. It's under $10. It's not supposed to be a big game you spend hours in. It's very, very bright presentation. It's great fun. Yeah, so that's brought to you by Free Lives, who also did Broforce, Genital Jousting, and Terra Nil, just to show they have some range. And
they do have some range.
They do. Published by Devolver Digital. And yes, until you've had like a Martian throw a laser gun at the Queen, who's brandishing like a caveman's axe, you haven't lived.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you prefer it on the like original on? I assume you played it on a tablet.
Yeah.
Or did you prefer it on a Switch?
I just prefer it on a Switch because, one, if you're playing it on a TV, the controllers are good.
Yeah.
You basically have all the options you had on a tablet plus some extra options.
Yeah.
So, but if you have Apple Arcade, it's still there, I believe, and may even be purchasable now if you're lucky. But I can't get on the Apple Store because I don't have Apple stuff.
Kind of sounds like a combination of Toaster Bowl, which we reviewed recently.
Yeah, which is
in terms
also
of the pure chaos and simplicity, and the themes of that Bill Wirtz video, The History of the Entire World, I guess, just smush the two of them together into a 1-button 2-player game. Oh, okay. Definitely.
I just put on the trailer show.
The T-Rex.
It's what you think it is as soon as you see it. It's not complicated.
Great. It's simple. It's really straightforward. Fun. It's as silly or as competitive as you want it to be. Have a giggle. Have a chuckle.
Well, once again, this is Zed Games, and you're here with Hazel,
Zara,
and Paul.
And Zara's got a book review for us.
Yeah, I've got a book review. Listen to this.
Oh my god.
It's working.
It's a real book. It's paper.
You're getting quite violent with the book.
Oh no, don't destroy it. What's this book?
Literature.
Tell me about this book.
So, I'm reviewing this book because it is very much catering towards anyone who's ever played, I would say, any kind of tabletop RPG game. It is Legends and Lattes by Travis Baldry. And I think probably the best way to get into it is just to read a little bit from the prologue. Viv buried her great sword in a Skulvert's skull with a meaty crunch. Black blood thrummed in her hands, and a muscular arm strained as she tore it back and out in a spray of gore. The Skulvert Queen gave a long vibrating moan and then thundered to the stone in a heap. With a sigh, Viv slumped to her knees. The persistent twinge in her lower back flared up, and she dug in the knuckles of one huge hand to chase it away. Wiping sweat and blood from her face, she stared down at the dead queen. Cheers and shouts echoed from behind her. The rest of the party approached. Rune, Tavis, and little Galena brought with them the exhausted but exultant chatter of the victorious. Rune combed muck from his beard, Galena sheathed her daggers, and Tavis glided behind them both, tall and watchful. They were a good crew. Viv turned away and strode towards the cavern's entrance, where dim light still filtered through. Viv felt a prick of shame, but she was done. Why drag things out? She didn't really want to talk about it, and if she said anything more, she might change her mind. After 22 years of adventuring, Viv had reached her limit of blood and mud and bullshit. An orc's life was strength and violence and a sudden sharp end, but she'd be damned if she'd let hers finish that way. It was time for something new.
Why was that orc murder written so erotically?
Well, we'll get to that in a moment. We'll address that in a moment.
I really related to the part where her back hurt.
Felt that.
So you might be asking yourself, what is something new? Who is Viv and all these characters? Well, in Legends and Lartes, we get to explore the question. What does an orc barbarian do when she's tired of, well, being a barbarian? Because, listeners, even adventurers need to consider their retirement plans. Written by Travis Baldry, an audiobook narrator who also worked on games like Fate and Rebel Galaxy, Legends and Lartes is what I would describe as cozy fantasy that feels like it was written just for me. And with a strong orc lady on the cover brewing up a latte, well, you might feel like it was written just for you as well. It's not that kind of book, but it is a little bit. Have you ever wondered what your tabletop RPG party would do if they weren't solving mysteries or causing chaos? Do you like coffee and or baked goods? Do you sometimes wonder what it would be like to open your own cafe? Does your tortured character maybe want to finally settle down? Do you like a slow burn romance that forces the characters to confront and name their secret fears so they can finally lower their barriers only to have that threatened? If you said yes to any of that, then Legends and Lartes is for you, as we follow Viv on her journey to open the first cafe in the country ever. She also has to explain what coffee is first, but as I think you can imagine, it does catch on. She has to navigate finding the perfect location, actually turning it into a cafe, as well as training a barista to help. It's a very cozy premise, and this book presents it to me like a tray of freshly baked cinnamon scrolls, glaze melting into the swirls. But it does have its fair share of obstacles, enemies, and even just straight-up haters. You root for the heroes, despair for their losses, hate the bad guys, and then kind of become obsessed with the bad guys because, well, the writer, gave them too much personality. Not a complaint. It just feels very much like those moments in an RPG where your friend might suggest an idea for the lore because it's a bit funny, and you run with it. Also really enjoyed the details and thought into introducing coffee in a fantasy setting, complete with an espresso machine.
Is the espresso machine magic?
The espresso machine is not magic. It is very much a real device.
It's like an antique Italian espresso machine situation.
So in this universe, gnomes are Italian.
Yes.
Is this a slur of some sort?
No. Gnomes just, they created the fantasy espresso machine, which has like, the author describes an oil reservoir and a wick for like, you know, to heat up the boiler.
Are you going to do some accents?
Yeah, it's like, I'm not going to do some accents.
I always want people to do accents.
While she retrieved, oh my gosh, sorry, I've just lost my place. There was a clever grinding mechanism at one end, and she poured a measure of beans into yet another compartment. She unlatched one of the long-handled devices from the front of the machine and slotted it in below the grinder. Once the right-hand gauge crept into the blue section of its face, she flipped a lever and a rumbling whine sounded as the beans were ground and packed tightly into the scoop of the handle. Like, that's just me describing what to do at a coffee machine.
Maybe it's just your voice, like, but it still seems very erotic.
I'm very passionate about coffee.
So since this is kind of like indie make a cafe game, the book, is there a farming element at all?
You do. It's kind of more like, it feels a bit more like being the farmer in Stardew Valley, like you're new in town.
I mean, that's just where I was placing it in my brain.
You're new in town and everyone is just like, oh, you're new in town. What are you doing over here? Is this skill I have at all useful? And suddenly you've got like a Ratkin baker who never talks, but he is an absolute genius when it comes to baking.
God, I hope the Rat King Baker has a hat with a small human in it that's actually controlling what he does.
Oh my God.
Well, you're just going to have to read the book to find out. Oh my God.
It's got like a fairy in there or a pixie.
But overall...
Manitouni!
It feels comfortable. The book is pretty easy to read, so if you pick away at a book or you prefer to smash it out in a single sitting, you could. And if you do find yourself wanting more, there is a prequel of sorts establishing Viv's start as an adventurer and the seeds that were planted that would eventually lead to Legends and Lattes. The prequel is called Bookshops and Bone Dust, where Viv, much younger, ends up being stuck in a sleepy fishing town with a dying bookstore and a thriving bakery. I am glad to say that it is just as warm and cozy and appeals to those who might have also imagined opening your own bookstore or library. It also has a necromancer and she's not warm or cozy. Don't worry about it. Focus on the ratkin who curses and runs the bookstore.
I think in the next one she's going to have like a potion shop.
It's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, I'm thinking like a... Ooh. Supplements. Fantasy supplements.
Or fantasy protein powder.
Yes.
Or nursery, like horticulture.
Ooh, that's really good.
Good idea.
Like, these are all the ideas we've
Travis
seen.
Travis Baldry, these ideas are free.
Yeah, we're giving these away. Yep,
as I always say, ideas are worthless.
I also love that the prequel is bigger than the first book.
By a lot, actually.
Yeah, and I read Bookshops and Bone Dust before I read Legends and Lattes. I don't think that really affects the experience either way. There's still a buff orc lady on both covers.
And that's all that really matters.
If
you like playing goofy D&D games and making up stupid rules and exploring the consequences of them, but maybe your friends aren't available to play right now, read a book instead.
Yeah, it's a novel of high fantasy and low stakes.
God, read a book.
Print it on fine paper.
All these damn gamer youths, pick up a book sometime.
All right.
But not right now, because right now you're listening to Zed Games. And, Paul, have you got another review for us?
Of course I do.
Oh, my God. They're lying all over the place over here.
Yeah.
We're drowning in them.
They're coming out of all of the places. So this, quick little talk about the Mobius Machine. Now, I like to cover a lot of different types of games and, you know, a lot of it's indie stuff, but it's still bigger indie stuff, you know. Like the last game I talked about was from Devolver and stuff like this. This is a very small developer, Medruga Works. They've made two previous games and now they've entered the world of Metroidvanias. Now, this game jumped out at me when I was looking at potential titles just because it looks so very nice. It kind of reminds me of like 90s ABCs like Plasmo and stuff like that, if you remember shows like that. It's a bit sharper in 3D than that, but it just has lovely creature designs, a lovely general aesthetic. You're a little spaceman, you know, on, I don't know if it's Mars, just a different planet, and very well created creatures, and it's kind of just a very solid game. It reminds me a lot of sort of, again, 90s PC platformers, but in a Metroidvania style. Mm-hmm. And it is a very open world as well. So you do have a lot of opportunity to explore.
Oh, cool.
Now, I keep kind of just saying like, it's just very solid and everything, which pretty much does sum it up. It has a lot of nice little ideas. Its powers are slightly different. It has a big base on having different surfaces colored differently to let you know their properties, whether you can shoot through it, whether it will explode when you touch it, whether it'll do that. So it has this basis in color in the game to help you read it. But it just sort of suffers from old school game design problems, like having saves that are very long time away, just having a traditional map. And we just had the new Prince of Persia that had the screenshot feature. I would have killed for it in this game because I'll just be looking at the map going like, ah, why did I go into this room? And I get there and like, oh, because the door's locked.
So would you say that its problem is being too faithful to retro Metroidvanias?
Yeah, but it just kind of feels nice to play. It's got just like little touches as well, like when you select the angle that you're going to shoot at, because it's twin stick aiming, it just, that angle just stays until you touch the stick again, so you don't have to like hold it the whole time.
That's nice.
You know, just little things. It's on an alien planet, so the gravity's low, so an excuse to have no fall damage and big jumps.
Okay.
And we all like big jumps.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, and basically killing creatures gives you currency. You use that currency to buy upgrades, but they also drop energy, which also is how you either supercharge your weapons to make them more powerful or heal. So you can heal anywhere at any time as long as you've got energy from killed creatures. So if you are low on health, you actually have to go out and attack things to get more energy. Basic little things like that. It feels really solid to play. It's kind of like a comfort food for me. It's not, as I say, it's not high-end. It doesn't compare to something like Prince of Persia, but it's also a cheaper game. And it's just on PC, I believe. Actually, no, I might be wrong about that. I played it on PC code provided by the thing. I think they actually were moving it to consoles as well. Yes, it is also on PS5 and Xbox Series X and S. As I say, it just looks... That had a really nice style to it, too. I'm just going to turn a machine around so they can see the art style.
Very cute. Okay, yeah, it definitely doesn't look like a 90s Metroid.
No. It's very slick for it, and I played it on Steam Deck, and it runs really, really nicely and smoothly. So it will run definitely on any of its any platforms really well. Yeah.
It looks great. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And it feels nice to move it. As I say, it's not doing anything mind-blowing with the gameplay, but it does feel nice. And as I say, sometimes just a comfort game, you know, I just sit back, play.
Worth a look if you're a platformer fan.
Yeah, if you're into the Metroidvanias. And this one, as I say, very broad exploration. You can go lots of ways.
Well, it's coming up to the end of our time for tonight.
Oh, drats.
It's only an hour show. I don't know what to tell you.
It happens every time.
Every time. Yeah.
But we'll be back next week with more gaming news, reviews, community, and culture, as we say. So we're going to say goodbye. Goodbye. Good night. We love you so much.
Thanks for listening to Zed Games. If you'd like to listen to more, you can find us on the Community Radio Plus app
or find us on socials at ZEDGamesAU.
See you next time.